And we have shared this list with some who work with us here on the ticket, like Corby. Last week was Donovan. Friends of the show, like Rhett Miller of the old 97s and Robert Wolanski, who joined us a few weeks ago as our music expert here on the ticket. And today we bring you a very special guest. He grew up in the Metroplex in Haltom City, started off in metal, fronting a band called Unchecked Aggression. He went country in 2008, and he is an incredible success story because he is not only popular around the Metroplex and the great state of Texas, but he has taken his act all over the country, and now he has fans worldwide. We were proud to present him at Jub Jam a couple of years ago, and he joins us this morning here on the ticket. He's a P1, the great Cody Jinks.
Yay! Yay.
Good morning.
Morning.
How is everyone doing?
We're doing great.
Kicking ass.
And
taking names, man.
And we appreciate you coming on. I've known you through the years, so I know you listen to the station. And we just found out that the guys that you used to hang out with in high school have listened to the station with you now for a long time.
Yeah, I'll be 40 this year, and I've been a P1 since 99, and I have a record called Less Wise, and there's five of us that all grew up together, and they're all listening right now. So Jake, Matt, Blair, Justin, love you boys, and they're all spread out in different places right now. But yeah, man, we're all big P1s. We have been since high school, so glad to be here.
That's
man.
Great. Well, we're huge fans of you, and especially me. I've loved your music from the first time we actually got to play together, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago or so. And you were one of the ones. Yeah, you were one of the ones who really intimidated me. You were right next to me. And if no one's seen Cody, he's got some tats. He's got a long beard. But he is one of the nicest guys I have ever been around. And he was so generous to play Jub Jam a couple of years ago. And since then, we've become friends. But I have to tell you, I had no idea you were even a P1 back then, and you have this really old-school Waylon Jennings-like voice, and I felt so intimidated to play next to you, but we've come a long way from 10 years ago, and certainly you have, and the move you have made from metal to country was interesting. What got you to stop doing metal and go back to country?
It was kind of a weird deal, man. I grew up playing country. The first stuff I ever learned how to play was I played a lefty Frizzell song. My dad taught me, and mid-90s, metal was kind of making a resurgence with Pantego, Arlington guys.
Yeah.
And I really got into the metal thing, and I did that for 7 years. And I went out to LA, and Unchecked Aggression broke up after 7 years, and typical rock and roll story. And I took about a year off, and I sold all my big metal amps, and I just had to cleanse myself of it, and kind of full circle, just went back to country. And I guess that was my first love. So I still love my metal, still love my country, and I don't know, it's kind of a weird deal. The only guy I know that didn't mean to be in a country band.
Well, what you're doing now is great. You have certainly found your niche and your calling, and you have a ton of fans that I'm sure are tuned in this morning. So here we go. You ready to start the list?
I'm excited about this because we got a nationally known guy here to talk music with us, like Rhett Miller.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Rhett. Man, I love the old 97s. This is so much fun. When you called me the other day, George, I was like, oh, this is great, because I love this segment. So, yeah, let's go.
Awesome. All right. Band you hate.
So, funny thing. I can't talk about all the bands that I hate because I work in the music industry, and there are plenty of people that I can tell you are complete not awesome people to be around for whatever reason. But I'll tell you, the funny thing was, I have to go with Smash Mouth because somebody
once told me. Does this song get you?
Yes, this one kicks me in the nuts so bad.
Oh God, it's so bad. We opened for Smash Mouth at a 4th of July festival about 10 years ago. up in Allen, and there was four bands on the bill. We were direct support. We were going on right before them, and they wouldn't let us have a sound check, which is really not cool when you're direct support at a big festival. And we got on, and during the first song, my monitor literally started buzzing so bad it almost rattled off the stage. So let's go with Smash Mouth on that.
All right.
Yeah. My kids like this band, but I could see how this song would just punch you upside the head over and over again.
This was in one of those cartoon movies, wasn't it?
Is this Shrek? Yeah, what was this?
Shrek. That's right.
Shrek. Yeah. That's the big meme now.
It's such a whip, man, you know?
All right, Smash Mouth kicks us off here. Up next is a band that you think is overrated.
Okay. All right. This is a great question, because being in the music industry and being what is categorized as a country band, I'd have to go with Florida Georgia Line, but they're really not a band. Yeah.
They're really not a band?
It's not really, they're really not a band, though. It's just kind of, it's like, I don't know what it is. It's awful.
Two dudes singing in front of a backup band?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. And I've played with a bunch of people, and I haven't played with these guys, but that was the worst thing I could think of.
Was
Florida Georgia Line.
That was the worst thing you could think of.
That was the worst thing I could think of. Yeah. And what's funny about it is that I think that I might be incorrect on this, but I think they still have the longest tenured number one country song.
You're kidding me.
This song
of all
probably,
time?
Yeah.
Like, as far as like weeks in number one, and if they're not number one for weeks at number one, they're real close. And it might have been with this piece of crap.
Jeez, we're visiting with Cody Jinks right now, giving us the bands of his life.
He's bringing it. Hot sports opinions. Yeah, this is great.
If you're one of the revolving members of Florida Georgia Line, please call in.
They're very divisive. There's a lot of people like you. They get on my nerves too. But man, they did strike a chord with something that is between country, rap, pop. They found some sort of wavelength in there that's done really well for them. But yeah, there's a lot of people who would join you in thinking that they're way, way, way overrated.
Yeah,
and pretty cheesy presentation too. When you see them on stage, and some of the times I've seen them on stage. All right, that's this band that is overrated. What band do you think is underappreciated?
One of my favorite heavy metal bands of all time is, and one of my favorite bands, period, is a band called Corrosion of Conformity. And they have a lot of groovy rock metal country blues all wrapped up into one, and they've been one of my favorite bands since about 94 95, when really I started getting into heavy metal,
and this is heavy metal we're listening to here.
Well, we've got a slow burn going in here.
I picked one that was actually one of their milder songs. They had some really, really heavy stuff, but yeah, that Corrosion of Conformity, and over the years we've become friends with them, and we've done a couple of shows with them, and kind of doing the crossover country metal show just because it's fun.
Do you have? And I've been to your shows before, and it's all sorts and sizes that show up. Do you have metal fans, you think, at your shows?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. We have lots of metal fans that come out. You know, it's really, I write, you know, the progression, the chord progressions and things like that, that I used to write my songs, are really, a lot of them are, if you sped it up, and it'd sound like a metal song.
I still don't get how this is metal. Is this piece called Lick My Love Pump? What is this one called?
This, hold on. No, this isn't Spinal Tap, Gordo. This is, they had some lighter stuff, you know, it's beautiful. They're great, man. Very eclectic.
Give Cray Tray a title of a Corrosion of Conformity song that would blow our ears out.
It'll take him 20 minutes to look it up.
No, it won't. Cray Tray will find it in 10 seconds.
All right. The devil eats fetal balls.
The devil eats fetal balls. Yes.
All right, maybe we'll come back to them.
No one's ever written a song called "The Devil Eats Fetal Balls."
Corrosion of Conformity. Corrosion of the. Let's see. Look up. Vote with a bullet.
Vote with a bullet.
Good Lord.
By the way, some of Cody's early songs from his metal band, Hellraiser and Kill Me Again.
Oh, God. Well,
and I don't know if you guys remember this, but back like years and years and years ago, Mike and Corby used to do a section called Plateau of Anguish. And yeah, that was an Unchecked Aggression song that we released in 2001.
Oh, okay. So, well, how about that?
Yeah. Well,
and this is Corrosion of Conformity. What's the name of the song again?
Vote with a Bullet. Doesn't have any language in it, does it?
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at the lyrics.
There we go.
Hold on. The devil's having an orgasm. Yes.
I think that's pretty awesome.
Oh, they're great. They're great, man. It's so much fun. And just the sweetest group of guys.
All right, this is the great Cody Jinks with us. This is his list of bands. That was underappreciated. Corrosion of Conformity. Band that I love. I know this was a tough one for you.
It was. And I had to, and a lot of my answers had to. But I narrowed it down to Merle Haggard and Metallica, but I can only use one. So what was it we talked about? We have to go with
Metallica. You went with Metallica. Yeah.
We have to go with Metallica there. Yeah. There we go.
Those are pretty interesting. Have to decide betweens.
Merle Haggard
and Metallica.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody calls, you know, James Hetfield Het, and, so yeah, man, Het and the Hag. Those are,
you bet.
Those are, yeah. Now I could listen to this all day.
When did you first get into them? High school?
Middle school. I was probably 13, really. Metallica. You know, because after the Black Album came out in 91, shortly thereafter, I really got into them.
Were you listening, when you were really becoming a music fan, were you listening CD, album? What form were you listening to music back then?
My first cassette tape that I ever bought with my own money when I was 8 years old was Reba McEntire's Whoever's in New England. Okay. So, yeah.
Same here.
right? You know, it was one of those deals where we had vinyls. My mom and dad had a really cool record collection, just very eclectic, full of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, you know, when I was in the 80s, whenever I was first starting to, you know, get into music, and, you know, it was cassette tapes back then, but, yeah.
Have you gone back to vinyl? Do you have a record player now? You listen on vinyl?
Constantly. I listen to vinyl more than anything else.
I'm trying to get Gordo to go back to that.
I know, I probably should, but
it's, I don't know.
I'm sure they sell decent vinyl players now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you can get a decent vinyl player, you know, now for relatively inexpensive. You know, mm-hmm. they're, yeah, you know, but I love it. I have, we listen to vinyls constantly. I don't have a TV in my living room. We have a record player.
There you go. He is a musical superstar. He's a P1, and he's taking the band list test this morning. It's Cody Jinks with us here on The Ticket. It's Giorgio and Gordo.
Where's Junior? Why and is we, Junior talking?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why is Junior laying
just
out?
Bugged out and just took off. He actually has a doctor's appointment, Cody. He wanted us to tell you that he said hi.
He said he needed another inch.
I was wondering like why I wasn't chiming in, man. And,
yeah. Kind of weird.
Yeah. So he's at a doctor's appointment, and Cody Jinks, like a lot of other musicians, have been in the idol position for the last 3 months. And how many dates would you say you play a year?
Nowadays, probably I'm in the 115 to 130 range, which puts me on the road about 160 days a year. With travel time and stuff. I used to do 200 to 215 a year, which had me on the road around 280 days a year. I don't have to do it that hard anymore, fortunately. And I mean, like I said, I've been doing it a long time. So, I'm still over 100 shows a year. Well, in a normal year.
Was, yeah.
In a non-COVID year.
In a non-COVID
yes.
year.
So- yes.
So what has this been like these last 3 months?
Probably my wife would be a better person to ask than me, because some days I haven't worked in over 3 months. We were off at the beginning of March, and we left and went to New York to start a tour on March 11th or 12th. When everything hit the fan, and I flew to New York, the band and crew all flew to New York to meet the buses at the club, and literally got to New York. My phone blew up when I got off the airplane. It said, tour's canceled, crap hit the fan. You're flying home tomorrow. And I got home and I told my wife, I was like, well, I don't know when we're going back to work. So I'm going to use this time to work and focus on some different things, and telling myself that I'm going to keep myself busy so I don't go crazy, because some days I'm like, I'm going to use this time and do this and do this and do this, and then the next day I'm a blubbering mess, and because I can't go play anywhere, and I'm kind of I gotta be moving all the time, and I've been home for the last 3 months, and it's the most time my wife and I and my kids have ever spent together. And some days I'm like, I can't even know what to do with myself, Rebecca. It's been pretty interesting, I guess,
Well, at some point you'll get back out there. No telling when that is, but at some point it'll open back up. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to seeing a live show again. People haven't been able to go out and watch live music. All right, so let's get back to your list of the bands that have been a big influence on you through your life. And we left off with Band You Love, and that was Metallica. We now go to band that you could listen to over and over.
Social Distortion.
Social Distortion, interesting.
Yeah. Social D, well, this song you queued up right here, I Was Wrong, that was a big hit when I was about 15. And the thing about, and they're considered punk, but there's a lot of country influence there. And Mike Ness, their lead singer, has made a couple of country records as well, and people don't realize how similar punk and thrash and country really are, like bluegrass is kind of like country punk, so there's a lot of similarities there. And just, I love Mike Ness, I love what he writes about, and Social D, I've been a big fan for a long time.
And for those listeners who may not know, Social D is short for Social Distortion.
Yes.
Just wanted to clarify that. And you're right. This sounds like a country progression right here. This could be a country song.
If you slow a lot of their stuff down and play it acoustically, and I tried to do a Social Distortion, not the last record we went in to do, but the record before that, we tried to do one. It didn't work. It was an exercise, and we tried it, but You know, I love them. And really, when you just play some of their songs on the acoustic, it's very country.
All right, this is Cody Jinks with us here on The Ticket and his list of bands. We go to band that made me fall in love with music.
We're going to go... I'm going to be kind of song specific here. The song Poncho and Lefty, which is a Towns Van Zandt song, the version done by Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson came out in, I believe, 1983. And it's the first song that I remember grabbed me. And I'm a huge Willie fan. I'm a huge Merle fan. And this is really one of the first songs that I ever heard when I was very young that I didn't know what it did to me, but I knew that whatever it did was very profound. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of more song specific, but, you know, the Hag and Willie, it's hard to beat.
Well, it's such a great song. And this is the best version of the song, right?
You like this one better than Towns?
I think so.
You got to cut off that beginning of it where it sounds like a, I don't know, some sort of Dynasty theme song.
Well, okay. The other day, I had a buddy of mine send a link. Luke Bryan and Dierks Bentley just did a cover of this song, and the guitars at the beginning are very rock and roll, which is fine, I suppose, but Towns' version certainly wasn't, and this version certainly wasn't. And I have a friend of mine named, his name's Tennessee Jet, and we just did this song as well. We kept it a bit more country than Luke and Dierks did, but this version's really hard to beat, other than that Dynasty intro.
Yeah. And those two voices together. Yeah, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It still gives me chills.
Hey, Trey, can you rewind it to the Dynasty beginning? Oh, see, it's cut off of this version. It's Yeah, that's not the one there, Cray Trey.
Oh, yeah. It has that.
You're right about that. I've never really been wild.
It's so, it doesn't fit with the song.
No, the best way to start that song is, just right there.
Right. Just start with the acoustic. Here it is. Listen. Yeah.
Listen to that bass, Gordo.
Even the bass doing the octaves. Boom, damn, damn,
damn, damn. That's that 80s production that Gordo always rags on. Yeah,
absolutely.
and then we go back to this. See?
And one of the most brilliant songs ever.
Yes, such an unnecessary beginning.
The Dynasty beginning. All right, we go to Band That Changed My Life with Cody Jinks.
This is one of my favorite stories, dude. 1995, AC/DC put out a record called Ball Breaker. And this song is not on that record, but it was 95, and I begged my mom and dad to let me go see them. There were four of us that went. We were all 14 or 15. We were freshmen in high school. And one of our dads took four of us boys out there to Reunion Arena, and I saw AC/DC play live. It was my first hard rock show, and that was the show that I looked up and went, that's what I'm doing. I have to do this. This is the coolest thing. And it's funny because I don't know if you guys, and at 15 years old, when you go to your first AC/DC show, you smell something funny in the air that you might not have recognized before. And whenever they play The Jack, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the song The Jack.
The Jack.
There you go. Do you know what happens at an AC/DC show when they start playing The Jack?
No.
There were a whole bunch of women's up tops that appeared. And
pretty nice, huh?
You're 15 years old with your buddies, yeah.
when you're 15 years old and they go into the Jack and you smell this overwhelming smell of marijuana and they have a whole bunch of women's up tops on the Jumbotron, it's hands down one of the coolest moments of my life. And so I'd say that's on that, for, you know, short story long, AC/DC on that one.
So AC/DC is responsible for Cody Jinks touring the country now and playing country music.
Well, AC/DC fans boobs. Yes.
Yeah. If I could make this happen as a performer someday, then yeah. All right. Band that surprised you.
This is probably going to go down as one that most people would go, what? I don't know if you guys remember, but back in 97 at Texas Motor Speedway, they had something called Rock Fest. And it was a whole bunch of good rock and roll bands, Counting Crows, Wallflowers, Bush. Hey,
Gordo may have been there. Counting Crows were there.
Yeah, I probably was there.
Oh, man, dude. That's also one of my favorite bands, Gordo. I love Counting Crows. But the band that surprised me the most that day, and a lot of people are going to go, what? No Doubt.
Really?
They were, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like them too.
They were awesome. And I'm a big Gwen Stefani fan. I think she's brilliant. But I liked that band when I was in high school, which was strange because I was more into like the thrash metal punk and, you know, hardcore country stuff. But when they came on, Gwen Stefani, like, it was big, huge production, lots of, you know, the big, huge scaffolding festival situation. She climbed up like 40 foot of scaffolding while the band was just kind of vamping. And it was one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen. It was like Eddie Vedder in the Even Flow video where he's like,
right,
monkey barring across the crowd, you know. And they really stole the show. And No Doubt. It's kind of a weird one, but they were awesome.
Yeah, that is a surprising one. All right.
I picked I'm Just a Girl because I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Your theme song.
We're all just girls. We all started out as female. Did you know that? In utero, we were all female.
Yes. My wife is a scientist. I you have to grow that double X chromosome. You got to get that hang down.
That's right. Literally.
All right. What is Cody Jinks' guilty pleasure?
Okay. Now, George, I'm not going to consider, and I had two on this one too, because this has been so difficult for me. And I'm not going to consider them guilty because I think that they are wonderful. And I had two, if you will allow me. The first one is Depeche Mode.
I'm with you there.
Yes.
I like Depeche Mode. Uh-huh.
I love, well, hey, man, whenever Johnny Cash covers Personal Jesus, you know you're a badass.
Yeah, no doubt.
Boy, Cody has to have the most eclectic taste in music. It's great.
Well, but hold on, it gets better. My second one on my guilty pleasure.
You're going to die on this one, Gordo.
ABBA.
Yes! Yes!
Man, that was a band that I hate. This song drives me absolutely bananas.
It's such a feel-good song.
I thought we were friends, Cody.
It's just human happiness in a musical form.
It is the most... I listen to ABBA all the time. I love ABBA.
Don't you think it's cool, George, that they go into this part at the beginning of the song?
I'm sorry, man. I hear it, but
it's
I don't get it.
It's such a neat arrangement.
It's so cool. Like they basically started with like a half of a chorus. It's so strange.
Yes. It's great.
Yeah.
I give you that it's better than Waterloo or Mamma Mia, but yeah, it's better still than those. It still takes a hammer to my testicles.
It's this keyboard.
But Cody Jinks listens to ABBA. That is amazing.
You bet he does.
Yeah, man.
If you saw Cody Jinks at some Roadhouse bar, would you think that guy listens to ABBA?
No.
With the beard and the tattoos? And...
Have y'all ever covered an ABBA song?
We have not. No, we haven't.
Maybe I don't think that'd go over very well.
Mix it up, man.
All right, maybe you can do that at some point. All right, band you should have seen.
I had three written down, but I'll give you one. Band I should have seen and didn't, Waylon Jennings. I never got to see Waylon.
Boy, I'm the same way.
Yeah, me too.
This right here is my all-time favorite song to hit play on as soon as I hit the highway on any road trip. Really? I will hit this song right here.
It's a great song.
It's best.
Oh, my gosh, man.
It is
so cool.
Highway song to me.
It is. Man, this is a jump in the truck, roll the windows down, and put your foot on the floor.
Yep. This one and Lonesome Henry and Mean, that's another one that I can hit the highway on easily.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's something about that Waylon beat, just the kick and bass guitar and lockstep. It's just highway music.
Yeah, and you know, this is a song I've played live in my set many a time. Lonesome Henry and Mean is a song I've played in my set many a time. Waylon, there's just something special about Waylon, man. You know, it's got that rock and roll undertone, obviously. You know, his history with Buddy Holly and coming from all that kind of stuff. But yeah, man, just love me some Waylon. So I'd have to say Waylon on that. But I also had written down George Jones because I never got to see him.
Mm. Are you honored when people refer to you as Outlaw Country? Or do you think it's just a weird term now?
I think it's kind of more a weird term now. I know I'm lumped into that genre, but man, I'm not an outlaw. Waylon was an outlaw. Like the Hell's Angels used to ride with Waylon, and I get lumped into it. I'm definitely not in the music business terms the way I do things. Sure, they consider me an outlaw, but in real life, you know, not really.
All right, and one final one with Cody Jinks. Great band to see live.
Elton John.
Wow.
Another surprising choice.
Elton is one of my favorites. And whenever... oh, gosh, yeah. All right. Gordo, are you familiar with this song?
Yeah.
Turn it up, Cray Trey.
All right. Just turn it off before the chorus because there's a GD in there, but you're right. Not there yet. This song is so funny to me. It's called Texan Love Song, and I've been wanting to cover it for years and years and years. Look up, just listen to the song, go back and revisit it. It's so dead gum funny. But I'm a huge Elton John fan, and my wife and I went to see him 2 years ago for our anniversary in Vegas. And he's in his 70s, and he still has the, you know, big, flashy, shiny jackets, and comes out there with a 5-piece band and just killed it. Just like, you know, just one of those moments I just had tears rolling down my face, and, you know, just have to say, oh, Elton John, man. I love him so much.
What'd you think of Rocket Man, the movie?
Didn't see it.
Oh, you ought to.
No, because
it got to me, and I'm not, I'm an Elton John fan, you know, not like you are, but it really got to me. Just the melodies throughout that movie just really hit me of just how great a singer and performer, and the melodies just really got me.
I finished his book, his latest book that he came out with, and that was really good. I need to go watch that, but yeah, my mom was a huge Elton fan. My dad as well. And there was a lot of Elton in the house when I was a kid. So, but on a level where, like, it's somebody I've performed with, I'd have to say, and this is, again, I had two answers for this. Paul Cawthon, he's a very dear friend of mine. And I don't even know what kind of music he plays. It's country and rock and blues.
Yeah, it's hard to define, which I think is what makes him so great.
Yeah, but live, he's as far as the contemporary people, you know, that I play with on a normal basis, he's one of the best.
Yeah. Well, great list, and I knew it would be really entertaining.
It's awesome,
and,
Cody.
Very eclectic, as it certainly was, and it's great to hear from you again. I'll be in touch. We'll go fishing one of these days.
Hey, man, we talk about this every time we talk, dude. You're like literally an hour from my house.
I know.
And we need to come out and like shoot some skeet, go fishing, ride four wheelers, get muddy, bring your wife, and we'll fry some fish up, man. We talk about it, but we never do it. But I've got the time, so let's do it, man.
I do too. Let's do it. That'd be great.
Yeah,
Cody, great to hear from you. Great list. Woo! Look forward to you getting back on the road.
Hey, man, thank you so much, Gordo. Man, you were talking about that documentary on Netflix last week called The 13th. My wife and I watched it a couple days ago. I'm going to let you guys go, but thank you guys so much for keeping it going for all of us that, I mean, like just the social commentary, you guys being aware and making a point to focus on the things that are going on right now. We need that. And I listened to Rhett Miller say the same thing whenever you guys had him on a few weeks ago. You guys are doing a great job. I love you guys so much. Just all the guys up there. I've met most of you guys at one point in time or another. So honored to be on. Thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. And man, glad to be with y'all.
Thank you, Cody. That's so nice sweet.
Very nice thing to say.
The great Cody Jinx.
The great Cody Jinx.